What do you do when God says no? Why does God say no sometimes? I came across this verse recently from the book of Job, and it says, "I cry out to you, O God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like there was something going on in your life and you're just crying out to God for help and it's just like nothing? You feel like you're standing up and crying out to God and he's just looking at you. Another translation puts it this way, "I call to you, O God, but you never answer. And when I pray, you pay no attention." I think all of us, at times at least, struggles with crying out to God in prayer, but yet, where's the answers? So let's just kind of begin that sometimes we must understand prayer. Sometimes we think it's things that it's not, and sometimes it's just, perhaps even just like a mystery to us. There's a little boy whose family, they would always say a prayer right before their supper meal. And one night the little boy asked his dad, "Dad, can this be my night to talk to the plates?" Well, you know, he understood we do this every night, but he didn't understand the purpose or what was behind it. And, you know, maybe we're like that sometimes. You know, is prayer like Aladdin's lamp? You know, you rub on it and you get your wish. Is prayer like an emergency kit? A first aid kit, you go to it in case of emergencies. Is prayer like a tug of war? If you say your prayer over and over enough, if you say it loud enough, if you say it sincerely enough, if you use the right words, if you tug on that prayer long enough, will you win and God will grant you your request? Let's try to lay down at least some foundations here, the fact that God does want to answer your prayer. He really does. He says to us, "Ask, seek, knock." He says, "Ask anything in my name and I will give it to you." And yet sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes we wonder if it was false advertising from God. I'm not seeing it. Sometimes we wonder if is it a trick? Is it a tease? What is it? God always answers prayer. It's not always in the way that we want it, but God always answers prayer. I love this passage from Jeremiah when God says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Some people put it this way, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait. And some of those answers are hard sometimes, are they not? We see it throughout the Bible with Abraham was told basically no about his son Ishmael. We see David as he cried out for the child, this first child between he and Bathsheba, and he was told no. Jonah wanted to take a Mediterranean cruise, didn't he? And God said, "No, that's not what I've called you to do." And so sometimes we see these no's from God, and this morning we want to explore why. Why does that happen? Let me give you three reasons why that happens this morning. Number one, sometimes God has a... sometimes, I have no idea why I said that. God always has a bigger perspective. Always. When we look at ourselves, what kind of perspective do we have? If we're honest enough, the perspective that we have of life, it's like tunnel vision. We only see a certain aspect of it. And usually the focus in our tunnel vision is who? Me. It's ourselves. And we see the world through our eyes. And God has a bigger perspective. Have you ever done things that you've regretted? Well, why? I thought you were smarter than that. Well, sometimes we don't see all the consequences that's going to come about by things that we do. do we? Have you ever said this before doing something? You know, I know this is a really dumb thing to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. Have you ever said that? Okay, looks like maybe a few of you have. But that's not normally how we do things, right? We do things, we make choices believing it's the right choice. It's the best choice. It's what we need. It's what we want. This is a good thing to do. That's how we make choices. We think they're good choices. Have you ever said this? I wish somebody would have stopped me before I did that. You look back and said, I wish somebody would have tried harder or said something to me that I would not have made that decision, that choice. Most, if not all of us, have said something like that. Because our perspective is narrow. But when we look at God, God has a much bigger perspective than we do. In the book of Hebrews, it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes. I only see a few things. God sees everything. Everything is laid open. Everything is laid bare as God's able to see all things and then weave them together. You and I? Well, here's how it says in the book of James. Why, do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Your perspective is very narrow and very limited. You don't even know what you're going to do tomorrow. Now, you think you do, at least some of those things. I'm going to go to school, or I'm going to go to work. Have you not heard about the ice storm that's coming in tonight? Okay, there isn't one, but it becomes more and more believable, doesn't it? You don't know what's going to happen. Every day, things happen in our life, every day, that's not expected. But not with God. He knows all things. The second aspect is why God says no is because He has better plans. Isaiah chapter 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's taking it all into account, and He has plans that we can't even fathom or imagine. What would happen if God revealed His plans for your life to you right now? excuse me. Would you be able to handle that? God comes down to Daniel and says, Daniel, I think tomorrow I'm going to get you thrown into a lion's den. What do you think? You think Daniel would have been pretty enthusiastic about that? And yet God's plan was to not only throw him in the lion's den, but to shut the mouths of the lion, where Daniel was not eaten or not harmed. And once Daniel then was pulled out of the lion's den the next day, God received great glory, and Daniel also was more highly esteemed. What about the plans for Joseph? He was sold by his brothers. He ended up in Egypt as a slave. Potiphar's wife accused him of things he did not do. He ended up in jail there in Egypt. What kind of plans is that for my life? And then God makes him second ruler over all of Egypt. You think Moses would have been incited in the burning bush if God said to him, you know what, I want you to go and I want to lead them out of Egypt. But it's going to take you 40 years to get from Egypt to the promised land. And by the time you get to the promised land, well, you're going to die. You're not going to make it in, Moses. What kind of a plan is that? But I have plans to you on that journey to give you something far better than the promised land. Because I'm going to give to you, Moses, a relationship unlike any other. You're going to become my friend where we talk to each other face to face as a friend talks to a friend. God had plans for Moses that he could not comprehend. Paul, one of my favorites, is Paul wanted, he made plans to go to Rome. God says, okay, I have plans for you to go to Rome also. But they were pretty different. Paul was going to drop off the contribution in Jerusalem. He's going to say hi to some people. He had probably trips in the route and the stops made out. He's going to head to Rome. There's going to be a big revival in Rome. God says, well, I want you in Rome, but I have some different ideas. I'm going to get you arrested in Jerusalem. You're going to be tied up, and you're going to spend a lot of time. Now, I'm going to eventually get you to Rome. In fact, I got you a free ticket to Rome as a prisoner to get you there. But once you get there, I'm going to give you the opportunity to stand before Caesar himself, the most powerful man in the world, and God promised this to him twice. You'll stand before Caesar, and you can share the gospel. But one of the plans I don't think Paul ever could have comprehended was the plan in this that blesses you and I. Do you realize how much smaller our New Testament would be if God hadn't locked Paul up for a while? He's always going somewhere and preaching, but God locked him up and said, you know what, but I also need you to write some letters so that the people 2,000 years after this can enjoy them as well. God always has bigger plans than we can ever comprehend, and he also has a greater purpose. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's an intriguing passage, isn't it? I mean, God is saying, I gave you this thorn in the flesh. I gave you this physical problem. And Paul's praying that he would take it away. And God says, you know what? I have a greater purpose through this illness. I imagine there's a lot of you here today who have spent some time in prayer about something physical, about some kind of physical healing. And God said, no. Or God said, wait. Paul says, I'd rather be done with this, but this is what God's given me. You know, God couldn't use an exalted Paul. What God could use was a humble Paul. And God used this to humble him. Now, we don't like that, though, do we? We don't like that. But you know, God doesn't consult with us about his plans. Did he come down to you and to begin the year and said, you know, here's 2014. Here's what I'm thinking I'm going to do with you in this year in your life. What do you think about this? Anybody here, did God consult them on the plans for this year? Did God say, I kind of think this is pretty good, but what do you think? Now, God has a greater perspective, and therefore he brings out his plans and his purpose through those things. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, it's always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Now, to me, that's one of those passages I got to look at about 3 or 4 times at least to figure out, what are you saying, Paul? Anybody else like that? Anybody else kind of lost with that? Okay, either nobody else is or you're just not admitting it, right? But what's this yes and no and yes? In our lives, sometimes there are things that are yes and it's awesome, and sometimes there are things no and we wrestle with that. But Paul said, really, there is never any yes or no, because it's always yes in Christ. You see, God takes whatever is in your life and he uses that for his purpose. You see, when you do things that are good and right and following Jesus, he blesses that, and that's a yes. But you know, when you do things that you shouldn't do, our God is so great that He can take your mistakes and your problems and even your sin, and then somehow He can weave that together for the glory of His name and for your good. And so it's always a yes. Because God can use your past no matter how bad it is. God can use your past no matter how good it is. God can use your strengths, but He also uses your weaknesses. God can use the things that you do right, but He also uses the things that you do wrong. And it's amazing how God takes all those things and He weaves them together for a greater purpose. I'm not sure that I said much so far that that you all didn't know. We just need to be reminded of it. I think our challenge is, how do we handle a no from God? How do we respond? Let me give you three ways that we can respond when God says no to you in your life. First of all, we can resist it, right? I don't like it. I'm going to try to change that. I'm going to try to do something else to try to work it out to still to still get what I want. As someone once said, no helps us to grow. It helps us to move from immaturity to maturity. Or like I used to tell my kids growing up a lot, with a smile on my face, it just builds character. My son the other night called me on the phone. We were discussing something, and all at once it came out of his mouth, "Well, Dad, it's just building character in you." Don't you love it when your kids start throwing that back at you? But, you know, you can resist it, or you can accept it and grow. You can also resent it. I don't like it, and I'm not going to accept it, and hold that bitterness. You know, kind of like a like a spoiled child. Do you ever act like that as adults? When you don't get what you want from God? Do you ever throw a good spiritual fit? Not that I would admit. Those of you who are parents here in the audience, how many of you gave your children or are giving your children everything they asked for? Can I see your hands? Nobody? We got a bunch of mean parents in here? Well, no. That was worth the entire lesson, wasn't it? At least parents think they're doing what is best for their kids. And that's why sometimes we say no and sometimes we say wait. Because basically God loves us too much to give us everything that we want. God loves us too much to give us everything that we want. And again, when we're in the midst of it, we don't understand it. We don't understand why we're standing there in the store and we can't get that candy. Because as adults, it looks much more important to us that we get it. But God loves us too much to give us everything that we want. And I find it very interesting that even Jesus Himself learned that lesson. In Hebrews 5 and 8, although He was a son, He learned obedience from what He suffered. Even Jesus Himself. So when God tells you no, you can resist it, you can resent it. Or the third option is you can simply relax and enjoy, knowing that God is in control. And you can do that because you know He has a better perspective, He has a better plan, and He has a better purpose. The bottom line is, do you trust God? Let's say you have a pilot's license. You're going to fly down to Dallas, Fort Worth. You're going to go down to DFW. Do I have anybody who flies planes here? I asked that silly question in the first service, and Dennis Cherry was sitting there. You know Dennis Cherry and his Air Force days. But there's a couple others, but nobody here has ever flown a plane? Am I the only one? Okay, a couple of you guys over there. I got to fly it once. I guess they'd never let me fly again, but that's a different story. But let's say you're in a plane and you're flying down to DFW. When you get to Dallas, you want to what? Land. So you're in your plane, you land the airplane, right? If you're at DFW Airport, is that how it works? No. Why? Because there's other planes in the picture. What about poor Walton? He's up there in the air and he's about to run out of gas. Should he land before you? Not getting much, Walton. I'm not sure they're going to let you land or crash. I don't know. You know, the role of the air traffic controller, he's got all these planes all over the place. Some are taking off, some are landing, and he's weaving them all together so that they all land at the right time and land safely. In a much bigger way, God is weaving together every single life of every single person who is sitting here right now. Now, what I can see is through my tunnel vision, my life, what I need, what I want. But God is weaving all those together. You're going to land at the right time, at the right place, in the right way. But you have to trust God. When he says yes, when he says no, and when he says wait. We want to give you an opportunity that if we can pray for you, because sometimes life is a struggle. Some of our leaders will be here at the front, and we just encourage you to come and share with us so we can all pray for you. If you'd like something a little bit more private, some of our elders and their wives will be at the back, and you can go and you can pray with them and just do it privately. But if we can help you in any way, would you please respond as we stand and sing this song?